Hey, dude, guess what tonight?
What?
Pool party, my house, 8 o'clock.
Welcome to Pool Party Radio. This is the podcast where we talk about big feedsmen. I'm your host, Parker, joined as always by Jason, Razor Blades Frisbee.
I'm an American badass. Watch me kick. You can roll with rock or you can suck my dick. I'm a porno flick. I'm like Amazing Grace. I'm gonna fuck some hoes after I rock this place.
Oh. Wholly inaccurate theme song, but apparently you received some requests to get that back on the air.
By very level-headed people who enjoy accurate songs, yes.
Kid Rock.
They enjoy the personification of a man via the music of Kid Rock.
Yeah, Kid Rock. Got it. Right. And I'm whittled down back to my one wholesome nickname of Razor Blades this week, because we're ending a podcast Cold War, probably the first in podcast history.
Anyway, we got terms and conditions. Hopefully we can reach an agreement.
And here to help us with those terms and conditions is Shelby Cobras from Ilcon
Radio.
What's up, guys?
How's it going?
Good.
I grudgingly accept your welcome to the podcast.
Well, I don't see why you have to be.
I'm hopeful but skeptical.
Well, we are to be.
By the way, I have one suggestion for a new nickname for Mr. Frisbee.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you guys have come across this before, but what if you called him Ultimate Frisbee?
I can deal with that.
No, we can't do that. My email address is ultimateparker@gmail.com.
Huh. I see no problem in this. This is fine.
But could you imagine?
If you steal my ultimate name, then we're going to have a podcast civil war on our
hands. Whoa! This is going to places. I like where this is going.
I think it seems either totally appropriate that I have Ultimate Frisbee as a nickname.
You could either Photoshop the Ultimate Warrior's face onto Frisbee's body or vice versa.
There would be no need for that because Frisbee is ripped.
That's true. I mean, it would be like a downgrading in his musculature to have the Ultimate Warrior's body transposed onto his, right?
Yeah, we could Photoshop the Ultimate Warrior's body onto Frisbee if we want Frisbee to look like some sort of weakling.
Yeah, with more body fat index.
Yeah, we don't want that to happen.
It's embarrassing, really. I'm just muscle fiber and veins. Barely have any skin on me. It's disgusting.
You're like a Clive Barker painting.
Yeah, I'm like a Cenobite, really.
He's a Cenobite, yeah.
Yeah, but all except my left arm. If you've seen that picture on our Facebook page, I seem to have a mighty beard and a completely ripped one right arm. So.
Oh, also, no, you have all those CDs stuck into your head.
Yeah,
that also makes you look like sort of a shittier Cenobite, but a Cenobite nonetheless.
Yeah,
like a late age Cenobite.
Exactly.
That was the worst fucking Cenobite. Like all the other ones were like, all right, we're going to put pins in this guy's skull and we're going to put barbed wire in this guy's teeth and all this stuff. And then
one of them was just really fat. Like that was it.
Yeah. He was really bad.
Chubby. Too many Oreos.
Yeah. The fat ass Cenobite. It would have been cool if they would have maybe waited like 3 years and done a Laserdisc Cenobite.
Right.
Visually stunning.
Yeah. Well, Laserdisc
forever.
Yeah. At least they were physically imposing, being as to how they weighed 8 pounds.
Yeah.
Those Hellraiser movies, I mean, that's the climax, obviously. It's just a shame that they go into so much detail, and they only get like 20 seconds of screen time.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're going to put so much fog and darkness around these guys, it'll be intimidating, unless they've seen the other four films, then they're going to know what to expect.
It kind of depends. When you go into the later Hellraiser movies, you kind of long for the days when they showed the Cenobites less. Because once they get into the later movies, they spend a lot of screen time on those guys, and those movies are just garbage, and they make them all lame, and it's kind of like, maybe they should have been left in the shadows and in the fog. They were more intimidating that way, you know?
True, yeah. Let's not draw so much attention to the fact that CDs are sticking out of this guy's head.
Right. Oh, he's got an 8-track taped to his face. Ooh.
Well, he had the CD sticking out of his head, of course, because he was a DJ at a club. And that's what happens when you're a DJ at a club. You go to hell, and somebody sticks CDs in your face.
And you're wearing exactly the same goth leather that you winning with. So
yeah, and those like super long wallet chains.
Cenobites love knowing where their wallet is at all time.
Exactly.
We're getting ahead of ourselves. I mean, we're acting like friends here. We haven't even discussed our terms.
We are not friends.
We're acting like friends, and this is the shameful part. We need to actually discuss some of the treaty's conditions to move forward.
I don't think this got escalated so heavily and so highly that we're not friends. I thought it was just a gentleman's disagreement between...
Oh, I am most definitely not your friend, Mr. Bowman. I have a deep, burning hatred for you in my soul.
Unacceptable! All right, well, let's get to these conditions, goddammit.
We need to hash this thing out. We really do.
If you haven't been listening to this show or the Illogical Contraption show, we've been in a podcast, Cold War. Nobody knows the origins of this. It's been millennia ago that this started. Nobody can remember why this started.
I kind of remember because part of my condition involves that. in Shelby's first appearance, I had the nickname of Cobra Commander. But the Cobra sticks out as Shelby's known as Shelby Cobras on Illogical Contraption Radio at illogicalcontraptionradio.com, as you see, free radio. So I believe the disagreement came when he asked if Cobras was part of my nickname. I said, yes, it was. And he said, well, you're no longer welcome in San Francisco. There's only room for one Cobras. Am I correct in stating this?
It was something along those lines, yes. It was some sort of disagreement over the use of the name Cobras.
Okay, so here's my first item on this truce. I'm willing to relinquish the nickname of Cobra, because I have too many nicknames as it is. It seems to get larger and larger each week. This has been one of the first weeks where it's been somewhat digestible. So I'll give it the nickname Cobra if I can have my visitation rights to San Francisco back.
As I've just moved to Oakland and I no longer reside in San Francisco, I'm willing to agree to that. I'll call off my hounds in the city.
Okay, sounds good.
I've moved my headquarters, so actually that works out okay. I'm willing to agree to that.
I'm steady. Parker?
I wish you would have hit the wrong button and hit the unacceptable.
Or boo this man! And
fucked it all up.
All right. Well, yeah, my terms are, I had a nice, long, lengthy record of about 4 years and 8 months where nobody called me a fag. And I've been, that's been broken. It's been shattered by you Logical Contraption fellows. And I don't really care too much about that. But it was, in combination to, sort of as an insult to the great Julian Sands. And I think that if we're going to live in a civilized society, we should not be saying ill of Julian Sands or any of his movies, except for maybe the Dario Argento opera, Phantom of the Opera, rather.
Sure.
Because that looks like a piece of crap. Watch some of that.
I'm willing to accept that term of no longer insinuating that you might be gay for Julian Sands, but...
No, that's fine. You can insinuate that I'm gay for Julian Sands because I would make out with that man.
Right, right.
I just don't want any, I don't want anybody to say anything bad about Julian Sands. Like,
oh, okay.
His movies are terrible or that, he's not a good actor, anything like that.
Sure. All of his films are 100% gold, even the opera. But I do insist that we can still insinuate from time to time that you are gay for Jason Sudeikis.
Oh, if I'm going to be gay for anybody, it's not going to be Sudeikis.
I desire only permission to insinuate it.
Okay. That's fine. If you want to insinuate that, it very well could be. I mean, deep in my subconscious, my hatred for Sudeikis could be caused by a deep, unrequited gay love.
Yeah, that's. I'd like to follow that path a little ways and see where it goes.
I think that's how Freud would sum it up.
Yeah, I think so.
I was going to say, Parker, I'm pretty certain you're a fan of quasi-homoerotic mystery and obsession anyway.
My favorite show is Sherlock Homophobia.
Yeah.
It's a good show. Not to mention America's Best Dance Crew, am I right?
Hey, there's nothing homosexual about people in tights.
It's perfectly normal for dudes to hug each other in awkward positions to make it look like one of them's driving a car of human beings. I saw that.
This reminds me that now that the Frisbee San Francisco ban has been lifted, if you ever want to come out and visit Frisbee, I think we should do some crumping.
Crumping?
Yeah. Have you ever tried crumping?
No. Is this like...
I think I was introduced to it through ABDC, America's Best Dance Crew.
Of course.
Right.
It's a very specific type of weird, jerky, ghetto dancing. I think I could teach you a thing or two about it.
Yeah. I think the only type of dancing is weird, jerky dancing. Although, yeah. if there's a ghetto twist to it, I might need to learn some steps.
Yeah, I think you're supposed to dress up like clowns or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. Something tells me. I just have an intuition that tells me you would be an amazing crumper.
I'm down with that. From what I've seen of America's Best Dance Crew, we'll have to form
please,
like a small
please, Frisbee,
gang.
Just ABDC.
Oh, yeah. From what I've seen of ABDC, we have to form like a small Warriors-esque gang. I don't know.
A crew.
Maybe like right, a crew.
A crew, if you will.
A C.
Yeah. Our dance crew can crump. Crumping seems to be fueled strictly by rage. It's the one dance fueled by violent rage, it seems.
Well, I got tons of that, so that should be no problem.
Yeah. You're chock full of violent rage.
I can't wait to crump.
I have but one simple condition to end this Cold War.
Yeah, of course.
If I may. I request only that you two quit podcasting forever, swear your fealty to Logical Contraption Radio, and commit ritual suicide immediately.
Unacceptable!
Yeah.
All right. No, I'm willing to agree to it anyways. I thought I'd just give it a try.
If you had caught me, like, if The Avengers was, like, a really bad movie, then I probably would have been like, yep, suicide is the only option.
Uh-huh. Just, I haven't seen it yet. I'm excited to go see it.
It's very good.
So can we agree that this Cold War can come to an end? I've agreed to your terms. You didn't agree to my terms, but it's okay. They were kind of, I was aiming for the fences anyways.
Yeah. You were, that's kind of like, true to life, as that's how Russia negotiates.
Yeah.
Russia. If anything, you get to imply that Parker is sexually attracted to Jason Sudeikis, and that's a huge step.
You know, we were going to do that anyways.
Yeah.
It's a huge step towards peace. I think that's probably how, Ahmadinejad and Obama are going to resolve their problems.
And I was thinking maybe, you know, being that you guys are with the Red Band Network, drop, and we're with FCCFreeRadio.com, and we have unlimited amounts of cash at our disposal, maybe we could have them fly us out to an undisclosed location and maybe celebrate Sandsgiving together this year as a show of peace and unity.
That would be fantastic.
Yeah.
We should definitely do that, I think.
Yeah, we'll get together. We'll watch Warlock 2, The Armageddon, Arachnophobia, and, of course, Boxing Helena.
Of course.
We could also get together in Toronto or Quebec and celebrate Boxing Helena Day. You see.
All the while just proclaiming how gay Parker is, not how much of a faggot he is, but how gay he is.
Exactly.
For Julian Sands. Oh, I was where this is headed.
Yeah. Did you guys ever come up with a Statham holiday?
I think it was...
Well, we can do...
Cranksgiving?
Yeah.
We had Cranksgiving.
Oh, yeah.
Cranksgiving rhymes better.
Yeah, it does.
And then, well, we thought about doing a Sans Patrick's Day. But that's a long
way. That's kind of a stretch.
And it's kind of a stretch, yeah.
It's cool. We've got time.
Yeah, we got time to figure it out.
Our Cold War has passed like sands through the hourglass.
Yeah. What an important joke.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Jesselnik's back in the studio with you tonight, eh? Now, I got something to bring up with you guys here.
Mm-hmm.
I listened to last week's show, as I do every week, of course, religiously. If there's one thing people say about me, they go, there's Shelby Cobras, that guy that listens to Pool Party Radio religiously. It's the one thing people know about me.
That's what they wrote in your yearbook.
Now, in passing, when you guys were talking about the film Battle Shit with Rihanna, Frisbee said something about Rihanna back home in Baja, which she's from the Bahamas, not Baja, Mexico.
Oh, yeah.
He was just abbreviating it.
Yeah. I know. Of course.
Like how people, like Californians, we don't say California, we say Calif.
Yeah. Bahamas. Oh, really? I've been saying Califo. People probably think I'm such a douchebag.
Well, maybe it's just the Central Valley thing that we say Calif.
I've always heard just the postal abbreviation of Ka, and that seems appropriate. But anyway, you were saying.
Anyways, I was just saying, you dropped a little tidbit that sounded completely out of left field, and I didn't know if it was just an oddly presented joke or what, but you said that Rihanna had some sort of military training back in the Bahamas. Like, she was like a military badass or something, and that's what qualified her to be in this terrible movie?
Yeah.
What? Am I the odd man out on this one that I don't know about this?
No, that was...
Is that a fact?
Here's the thing. I had
Is it a fact?
I had a lot of milk and cookies last week.
Oh.
I used to work at a library where all I could do was just read in passing different shelf books and magazines. And this was like, what, 4 or 5 years ago when she was first arising. And there was some other star from the Bahamas who's coming out as well. Now, I was trying to pull like some sort of Sherlock Holmes style of deduction and reason and just memory bank pulling by going back and thinking, wait, I know one thing about Rihanna outside of her music, and that's that she was like a drill sergeant in the military, according to this other up-and-coming artist's description of how she knew Rihanna. She's like, yeah, Rihanna used to be my drill sergeant, like literal drill sergeant. And looking at it now, I can't find any evidence that actually existed. Yeah.
With all due respect, Mr. Frisbee, that sounds like a steaming load of bullshit to me.
Probably is.
Didn't she get discovered when she was like 19 or something? Not that I follow her career religiously. I do. But I'm not buying it, man.
Yeah, I'm not buying it anymore either.
Maybe her performance in the movie Battleship will convince me otherwise. But that remains to be seen.
Yeah, I was also thinking about this statement that you made. Because you said that Rihanna was qualified to be in the movie Battleship because she was a drill sergeant. But in the Bahamian army, she was not an actor. So I still don't think she's qualified to be in Battleship.
True.
Yeah, true.
I'll drill her, Sergeant.
Ooh.
Oh. Thank you. I was expecting Jeselnik on that one.
Well, you pleased more than just Jeselnik.
Okay, good. Excellent.
Yeah, I like that when you get drunk, Frisbee, you just make up stories about Caribbean immigrants. Some people get angry. Some people like to listen to NoFX really loud.
Well, then I also confuse plot lines of 80s sitcoms. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That implies some sort of racial prejudice or ignorance. Yeah. Yeah, I'm not finding anything about it as we're discussing it, so... Yep, another drunken ramble, or milk and cookies ramble from Frisbee, so deal with it, I would suppose.
I think you're still all right. I said that teachers were basically just babysitters last week, so I think you're still the nice guy of the podcast. You're still the reasonable one. You'll be fine.
I'm still fully willing to go along with either of those premises, don't get me wrong.
You agree with my teachers are babysitters.
Policy. Yeah, absolutely. And I'm still totally willing to buy Rihanna as a drill sergeant.
Wait a second.
Just add that. Go for it. What do you got?
I got it.
You found proof. It's,
yep. Yeah, I did. 1 second.
Sorry. Internet proof, in quotation. Hey,
internet proof. So Wikipedia said, no, I'm just joking. This is from...
Is the author of this article by any chance one Mr. Jason Frisbee?
Well, it's a J Ultimate Frisbee. That's one word.
Okay. Somebody else then.
Yeah, obviously. It says military service is nothing new to Rihanna, who joined the Army cadets in her home county, or probably means to say country there, of Barbados when she was a child.
If there's misspellings in the article, that's always a good sign.
It's factually inaccurate automatically.
Well, I'm a little bit bummed out that when you're drunk, you just don't lie about Caribbean singers. I was going to come up with like all these lightning round stories just strictly about Harry Belafonte to see what kind of stories you would make up about him.
Oh man, that's a completely different thing. I'm way sober right now. That was another book I read. Those things, God.
You read a book about Harry Belafonte?
No, it was a book about Marlon Brando. and how Marlon Brando and Henry Belafonte were roommates, but this was a completely different situation. I mean, well, it's all gossip shit, isn't it? I mean, Rihanna being in the military, Henry Belafonte and Marlon Brando being lovers. That was what this book was implying. Like, they used to bone all the time. But man, I skimmed through a few of those books, like the true Hollywood story books that were out there, and they're all terrible. All it is just like, and so many dicks were out sort of thing. It's like real boring business.
Well, that's how Hollywood was back in those days. You're allowed to put your dick wherever you wanted it to be.
Whenever you wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I was totally wrong. She's not from the Bahamas. She's from Barbados.
I was wrong originally when I said Baja, because I was probably thinking of that long gone fresh Taco Bell promotion.
Yeah, you were farther off than I was.
You were thinking about the Baja men.
Yeah. Guess I didn't hit the battleship on that one, did I, guys, right?
Ooh!
That's a miss.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Baja men, there's something I never would have thought of again if you hadn't brought it up just now.
Now you'll be thinking about them all day.
I'll be obsessed.
Please. Gentlemen, think of the Baja Fresh Mountain Dew. You must think of anything that's Baja. Think of that. The most authentic of Baja products.
Do you enjoy movies where scripts and production values are ignored in favor of dudes in rubber monster suits chasing bikini beach girls? Is quality of gore more important than quality of acting? Then Junk Food Dinner wants you. Junk Food Dinner is an explosion of cult movie podcasting, devastating the internet with shrapnel made out of horror, action, and sci-fi flicks. Each week, your hosts bring a favorite movie to the show to swoon over and or hate on. Go to junkfooddinner.com to download some episodes now or search for it on iTunes.
Now, I've heard a lot of things. I've only been to Bakersfield once. It has the worst Denny's on the planet. And I've heard things that Bakersfield is the worst town in Central California and Fresno is the best town in Central California. But seeing as to how now I've been to both of them, Fresno is just as bad as Bakersfield, if not worse. It's a horrible place. I went there on a Sunday. I expected there to not be a lot going on as to how it was a Sunday, but I saw absolutely no human beings aside from tens of thousands of homeless people. And it wasn't just like, you know, like I'm used to homeless people there. They're crowding the streets in Dayton. Like you have to bump through them like it's a crowded day at Kings Island to get through all the homeless people in Dayton. But these homeless people in Fresno roped off an entire part of town, and it was a tent city, which I thought only existed in John Carpenter movies. But apparently it's real.
No, it's called Occupy. It's a thing.
That is a great joke.
And I think that, a lot of these homeless people had signs saying like, you know, veteran and stuff like this. So these people, as opposed to the Occupy people, have had jobs at least once in their lives.
Not a job that they had to apply for or have skills for.
I thought like, yeah, I mean, isn't collecting a trust fund part of a job? Or am I wrong in that?
Yeah, well, that's like, yeah, that's your dad's job.
Oh.
That counts.
Involves somebody having a job.
Yeah, at least one person has had a job.
Now, as I've only driven through Fresno, I can't make any snap judgments. I mean, it seemed like a really shitty town when I drove through, but to my experience, every city or town I've visited in the Central Valley of California has been just a miserable place.
Yeah, yeah.
Stockton is terrible. Lodi is terrible. Bakersfield is terrible.
I haven't been to any towns more north than Fresno.
Yeah.
I hear Sacramento, does that count? Is that the Central Valley?
Sacramento is Central Valley, I think, sort of.
Yeah, I hear it's kind of crummy, but has good meat.
It's kind of crummy.
But yeah, but Fresno was just awful. Like, there's like a whole section of town, which is, I guess at one point was, you know, like the happening part of town with your arts and your theater and whatever. And all of the marquees outside said, like, coming in December. Cher and stuff like this. And I don't know if that meant last December Cher was coming or this December. And nobody is coming between now and December. But either way, that's really bad.
Yeah.
And that scared me a lot.
I knew a guy, I worked with a guy from Fresno once, and he was an old dude. I worked in a kitchen with him several years ago, and he had been working in that same kitchen for 39 years, and was addicted to methamphetamines and only communicated through like a weird series of grunts. He didn't talk a lot. He just went,
Was this Tim Allen that you met?
Yes, I worked with Tim Allen in a kitchen right before Home Improvement. I'm a lot older than people realize. Right? Yeah, and he was addicted to meth. Great guy, though.
From what you can understand. Yeah. Man, at first it sounded like a Jiro Dreams of Sushi kind of deal, where this guy has been working with food for like close to 40 years, because that's his focus, that's his mindset. But then it's like he just needed to feed a meth addiction, which is kind of disappointing.
Here's the grand irony is that he was a shitty cook, man.
Right. So it was
39 years and he couldn't throw together a fucking, a fettuccine Alfredo. It was sad.
You'd think after 39 years you'd be pretty good at it.
Yeah, you'd think.
Did it keep coming out as like half cooked spaghetti and meat sauce?
Yeah. I quit the job years ago. I heard he just got fired recently though, after something like 43 years at this job, they fired him.
Oh, that's the worst.
That's the type of person that comes from Fresno, California.
Yeah.
Without exception.
I believe it. It seems crazy. There was one guy that I like kind of was jealous of, but at the same time I realized that if this guy existed, then this town is the worst possible town. Oh, also, before I get into this guy, there was a person using a goddamn payphone, which I haven't seen in 10 years, and it scared the hell out of me. But this other guy that I was sort of jealous of.
1993 called. They want their payphone back.
It's the 90s! Faggots!
But this guy had erected a cage over his house. It was a normal street with suburban houses and everything like this, and an entire octagonal UFC-esque cage surrounded his whole house. It started at his lawn and went around the entire thing. It was nuts.
That reminds me, I was driving through a town somewhere off of Highway 20, which is sort of off the 5 Central Valley, kind of. It was near Clear Lake. Either of you know where Clear Lake is?
I do not.
It's a weird tweaker town out in the mountains. I was driving through this town. I can't remember. There's a string of shitty little tiny towns. And it was just this weird abandoned town, nothing but tweakers there. And I remember seeing this weird, broken down, shitty, sort of ramshackle house with a bunch of outbuildings built onto it. And there were just signs painted all over the house. Not even signs, but like painted on the house. There were all these handwritten advertisements that were like, we sell bats. Bats sold here. Not baseball bats, but like bats that fly around. If that's not the fucking creepiest thing you've ever seen or heard, I don't know. It just chilled me to the bone.
Who's going to buy bats?
I don't know, but it was like a town that was completely abandoned, nobody living there. It was a town of like 200 people, and somebody was getting by running a business where they sold bats out of a creepy old house. California's fucked up, man.
That it is.
People don't realize that everybody thinks, I'm sure people who don't live in California think it's all beaches and bikinis and sunshine, but there's some fucked up shit back in the mountains.
Yeah, like every time I call my mom, she's always like, oh, you're going to the beach today? You're going to, and all this. People.
Don't you live like hours from the beach?
So many hours. She doesn't understand that. She thinks that, and most people, I bet, I mean, not to sound, maybe that sounds pretentious or something, or at least just smarty pants.
You always sound pretentious, Parker. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. Keep going, bud.
Well, I'm sure a lot of people think that California is just like, a 10-mile inland stretch that goes like all the way up the coast or something, the way that people talk about it.
And it's all just Los Angeles and San Francisco, right?
Yeah, that's it. There's nothing in between.
Yeah, I think your mom and I got our geographic and basic knowledge of California from the Randy Newman song, I Love LA, because that's all it is to everybody who doesn't live in California. It's just all LA, mostly.
Yeah.
Like, it's all SoCal and then San Francisco, and that's it.
Yeah, there's... But in reality, there's like 5% of it's LA and 5% of it's San Francisco. And then the rest of it is like cows and meth heads and people selling.
Yeah. Cats. Yeah. I grew up in like far, far north California, like an hour from the Oregon border in Humboldt County. Mm-hmm. And there was some cool stuff about it. Like, I liked growing up there, but there's some pretty horrific shit going on up there, too. It's a small industrial town with, like, a big pulp mill that just pumps out smoke into the sky and weird tweakers everywhere trying to steal your shit.
That sounds a lot like Dayton. That sounds homey to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You remember that TV show? That TV show, Eureka?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was supposed to be set in the town where I grew up, Eureka. But they didn't film it there. They filmed it in, like, Vancouver or something.
Right. But yeah.
So people were further misled into thinking that my hometown was, like, some cool, quirky place by a lake, when in reality it was just a gloomy hellhole full of tweakers, you know?
Now, seeing as to how you're from real Northern California, one thing I've noticed since coming here, and you must forgive me for talking so much about California, but you're like the only person I know that I've talked to who lives in California, as I don't leave my house.
Uh-huh.
But when people talk about Northern California, they talk about places like Santa Cruz and San Francisco and stuff.
Oh, yeah. I've always, when I lived in Humboldt County, we would get, me and my friends would get so pissed off about that. I mean, not really pissed off, but like we just thought it was ridiculous that, you know, places 7 or 8 hours south of us were like, NorCal, represent, you know? Like, I've seen dudes in San Francisco. I saw a guy once, like a bro, like a frat bro, with like the NorCal logo tattooed across his back, like like a foot and a half wide and a foot tall. And I was like, if there's ever a dude that grew up in fucking, you know, Thousand Oaks, California, and then moved to San Francisco and got a NorCal tattoo, it's that guy. Some sideways hat wearing douchebag. It's like, that's even the Bay Area, I thought, wasn't Northern California when I was growing up, because I was like Northern California. The only more northern than Humboldt County is like Crescent City, and we don't even need to talk about Crescent City. That's some fucked up shit.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't see Santa Cruz or, you know, Half Moon Bay as Northern California. That seems so, it should be Central California, Northern California, and Southern California. And yeah, then the Central Valley.
Yeah, like as a lover of geography, I came in third place in a geography bee. In a,
is that your claim to fame?
Yeah. Okay. Actually, no, seventh grade. Eighth grade, actually. But yeah, that's what they're going to put on my tombstone. I love geography. So when people tell me about going, like, you know, Northern California here, and then I look at a map, and it's like Central Southern California that they're talking about.
Yeah.
It enrages me. And I'm not even from the Northern California, so I understand how you feel.
Yeah, and I've heard talk of people, you know, people saying we should split it into Northern California and Southern California. I think we should split it even more than that. That we should have 8 or 9 separate states in California. I don't want to be associated with all the other douchebags.
Yeah, absolutely. They were talking about doing that, like some,
yeah,
some
crazy. I'd like just my block in Oakland to be a state unto itself. Sovereign state.
Yeah.
I mean, be associated with any of these douchebags.
Yeah, there are those guys who wanted to split it. Like, everything south of Bakersfield would be New California or something.
Cool, they can have it. Later, guys. You're listening to Sports Talk with Parker and the Frizz.
Speaking of sports.
I'm just spitballing.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to talk about sports next. And by sports, I mean director Adam Green. He has he did the Hatchet movies. He did Frozen. He did a thing for Chillerama, a segment in that anthology. And now he's got a TV show called Holliston that stars himself and some other dude who makes movies and Odorous Urungus. And I watched it, seeing as to how Odorous is on it. And I hate everything he's ever done, except for Frozen, which I love a lot. And now after seeing the show, I can firmly and confidently say that Frozen is somehow a strange fluke. And I was wondering if there are any directors or writers or musicians or whatever that you only like one of their things and the rest of the things you hate passionately.
I've actually got one. I would have to say Zack Snyder. This guy has done Sucker Punch most recently. He's doing the new Superman movie. He also did, more famously, like 300, Watchmen, and Dawn of the Dead. And a Morrissey video, which is kind of odd. A very recent Morrissey video, but I haven't seen that. to be honest, I like the fact that a Watchmen movie was made, but I don't think it needed to be done. and it wasn't that great for me, at least. 300 was even less great. I think the Dawn of the Dead reboot was the most okay thing that he's done that I, you know, watched on a few viewings. But other than that, I haven't really been pleased with anything he's seen. Like, even when Sucker Punch came out, it's like, oh, this looks kind of interesting when I saw the trailer, but then when I realized he was directing it, I had no interest to see it.
Well, what's the thing that he's done that you like, then? His fluke movie.
Dawn of the Dead.
Ah.
If anything, just to redo an interest in having these films come out.
He didn't do Sin City, did he?
No, but he did do the Frank Miller comic 300.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's why I was confused. No, I hated 300. And yeah, Dawn of the Dead was okay. I hate everything else Zack Snyder's done.
Yeah, 300 is just a sloppy mess. I mean,
there's so many. It has that symptom that makes it so easy for me to hate a movie when they've just put way too much slow-mo in the movie.
Yes.
That'll turn me against any movie. That killed like the Lord of the Rings movies for me. There's just so much slow-mo. It's like we're 3 hours into the movie. We don't need a slow-mo scene here.
Yeah, Lord of the Rings is real weird because half the movie's in slow-mo and then the other half is like sped up in huge amounts because...
Yeah, can we just like even it out and just have, you know, an average speed movie all the way through?
Yeah. Obviously, neither of you gents have been to Middle Earth. Time is so relative there. It just, you have no idea if you're going fast or slow.
Yeah, I like Zack Snyder. I don't know. I like all his movies except for 300's all right. I liked it the first time I saw it. Now I can't watch it, but... I like those Watchmans. I like those Sucker Punches.
Oh, you like Sucker Punch.
Yeah, I'm the guy. I'm
that now.
I'm the one dude that likes Sucker Punch, yeah.
Wow. Sucks to be you. You should move to Fresno.
Everybody hates that movie, man. Like, Zack Snyder was like, all right, we're going to get some hot chicks, and they're going to use machine guns to kill zombie orcs. How is this bad?
Exactly. How did he make that bad?
Yeah.
I wish I could add to this, but like I said, I mean, I was like, oh, Sucker Punch, interesting. Oh, Zack Snyder, never mind.
Yeah.
Okay with that.
I can't think of a specific example of someone who's had a fluke like that right now, but I went to high school with a guy named Adam Green.
Is it the same Adam Green?
Nope.
No.
That's it.
Well, I did want to ask you about Adam Green. You've seen the movie All About Evil, right?
I have not.
Oh, you have not. Well, never mind.
Sorry.
But I think Adam Green ripped off his segment from Chillerama from that movie. But I haven't seen it. I've only...
Oh, God, he's... I've heard you talk about that movie, but I've never actually seen it.
Yeah, well, I've heard you guys talk about that movie. Maybe you weren't on that episode.
Yeah, probably not. I'm not on every episode. I'm on maybe half.
Yeah, those guys interviewed the director of All About Evil, but I have not seen it, so I can't confirm nor deny if Adam Green ripped it off. But I've heard that he has...
Who's the director of All About Evil?
Peaches something?
Peaches Christ. Oh, yeah, that's the... I was thinking... Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's the movie with Elvira.
Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't actually seen it. I've seen the preview for it, and I actually went to a screening of Elvira, Mistress of the Dark, where she was there in person doing, like, Q&A and stuff in character, and they showed previews for it and stuff. And but I never actually saw the movie.
Yeah.
For some reason I was thinking that movie, I was confused. I was like thinking it was All About Eve or something like that. But yeah, I'm familiar with the concept of that movie, but I haven't actually seen it.
Yeah, I've been wanting to see it and do it on the Junk Food Dinner show, but I haven't gotten my hands on it yet.
Yeah. It's got that chick from that one movie in it.
And you know, the chubby girl from Glee.
Yeah.
I know that because my wife watches that show sometimes.
Oh, your wife watches that show.
Sure. Wink.
Part of the Red Band Network. RedBandNetwork.com. And now
it's time
for the lightning round.
First up on the lightning round is Japan faces extinction in 1,000 years. According to a population clock that showed the nation's people could theoretically become extinct in 1,000 years, because of declining birth rates, Japan is apparently up in arms. If the rate of decline continues, we will be able to celebrate the Children's Day public holiday on May 5th, 3011, as there will be one child, said Hiroshi Yoshida, an economics professor at Tohoku University. Now, fellas, I've been to Japan. There are plenty of people still there, so need not worry. We will not see in our lifetime, but our children's 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 lifetime, they might see a population crisis.
This sounds terrible. How worried about this are you, as a man who's been to Japan?
Not at all. Japan know how to stick together and get things done. So if they could make the population completely unsustainable for their island nation now, they can do it again. So
here's my take on this. This is the first time I've heard of underpopulation being a problem. Not too worried about it, but just in case, we're going to go ahead and have a pool party radio exclusive right now. I am willing to bite the bullet on this one. If some sort of government agency wants to ship me out to Japan to have unprotected sex with all the Japanese women there, I'm fully willing to do it. As a service, as a public service, because I'm concerned about their future.
You're truly a citizen of the world.
Thank you.
Yeah. You're a gentleman and a saint in this case.
It's true.
Upgrading from scholar on this one.
I grudgingly accept your compliments.
Yeah. I would think that if they need more people in Japan, they could just send some of Fresno's 15-year-olds.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll have tons of kids lickety-split. That's
all. If all you kids like Lord of the Overfiend, well, guess what? We've got a trip for you. Yeah.
I think that why this is happening is because in Japanese porn, they have to blur out the penises and vaginas. So no.
Oh, and maybe the kids don't know how it actually works.
Yeah, they don't know how to do it because it's all blurred out.
Yeah. You're supposed to put it in her belly button or something. I'm not really sure.
Yeah. They just see the penis going towards the vagina, and it's a blur of pixels.
And then pixels, yeah.
Yeah. When they actually try to have sex, they get confused because their genitals don't turn into pixels, and then they just start crying.
Yeah. I'm absolutely positive that that's the problem. I think you nailed that one, Parker.
Well, I took one sociology class.
Yeah. It shows.
I know how these things work.
Yeah, because obviously nobody ever knew how to reproduce before pornography existed.
Well, I think my hypothesis is a little better than your hypothesis about going over there and having sex with all the Japanese girls.
No, I think Shelby's got a pretty great hypothesis, actually. That's it might be self-thinking, but that's I would rather
defensive much.
Yeah, I'm a little defensive. I spent all coming up with this idea as to why there will be no Japanese people.
Sure. But hey, you know, if that day comes around in 3011, at least our streets will be safer here in America. You know, driving.
Yeah, yeah. That's true.
That's true. It's racist, but true.
And we can finally tear down those concentration camps that we have littering our state, as we'll never need them again.
Maybe not just yet. I still got my eye on those Mexicans.
Yeah, we're looking at you, Mexicans.
I think they might be up to something.
Well, moving on to our next story. A San Benito teacher tells her classroom that she can speak to God. A YouTube video was uploaded recently of a teacher who's not been named just of yet, who told her class in Spanish that they can speak to God through her if they look straight into one of her eyes. She also claimed that she was pregnant with God's child.
Yeah, this is great. This happened, of course, in Northern California. It was about a half an hour south of Santa Cruz.
Oh, that Northern California.
That's a callback.
It's kind of like the Northern, but...
Yeah,
you know who else claimed that they could talk to God?
Who's that?
President George W. Bush.
So you're saying this teacher could become president?
Yeah, I think she should run for president. Absolutely.
I think she would probably win.
I think so too.
It's a pretty strong platform. Just look into my eyes and we can all speak to God.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? We could all watch TV and just the State of the Union would be her staring one eye open into the camera. There's nothing Big Brotherish at all about that. So,
like, she's like hypnotoad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like this, especially after last week when we had our discussion about whether or not teachers are basically just babysitters. These are the kind of people that we get to babysit the children. Crazy freaks. I
like that too. And I like to imagine that when she did she actually have the children look into her eye to commune with God or whatever?
I think that nobody accepted her offer.
Oh, I would hope that when she made that offer, she like pulled down her lower eyelid and went, "Look into my eye, a la Alien."
Yeah, or the Wizard of Gore.
Yeah.
She told them all to concentrate.
Concentrate.
Yeah.
Yep. No. I got you on that one.
Yeah.
And finally on the lightning round, zoo dolphin deaths are caused by party drugs. The dolphins called Shadow and Chalmers. Jesus. I wish I would have read that name before reading this out loud.
Can we just cut it right there? I think
that's... Yeah. Yeah.
No, I do have something to say about this. I read this story. I do have something
Superintendent
to say.
Dolphin Chalmers.
I was coming up with these names. Like, they're like, all right, for the one dolphin, we got Shadow.
No wonder they did drugs. This is, yeah, their names are tell-all.
Yeah, yeah, DJ Shadow, and of course, DJ Chalmers.
Yeah. The best DJ.
Yeah, so these dolphins died of ecstasy. That's very funny.
Yeah. It was because there was a rave or something at the zoo or at the water park?
That's correct. Yeah. After right. Zoo bosses rent out land near the dolphins' training pool.
Yeah. Would they not have, like, who throws a rave at a goddamn zoo or water park or whatever it is? And who does not expect the people to give drugs to animals? Like, that's the first thing you do when you're on drugs. Like, all the time that I've ever been on drugs, like, I'm like, all right, let's take these drugs. And then, like, 15 minutes in, you're like, you know who could really use some more drugs? This cat.
Yeah.
In your apartment here.
We used to put Chum. The cat under the laundry basket and then blow pot smoke on it.
Yeah, yeah. We used to do that, too. We had I had this apartment this one time that had this weird, like, desert terrarium. But we, like, scooped all the sand out of it, and we would put cats in there and then get them really high.
Fuck yeah.
And they love it.
Cats loved it. Everybody loves getting high. It doesn't matter your species.
That's true, but apparently if you're dolphins, you take it too far.
Where did this story take place again, Frisbee? Was it like
Lipperswil, Switzerland?
Switzerland.
So only yeah. The Swiss could do this.
Well, I think the whole thing, you pointed out the absurdity that they would be having some sort of rave at the water park. I think it's all just a cover story. For Swiss government to hide the fact that their dolphins are indeed addicted to drugs.
Yeah.
At the water parks. I think that the dolphins were probably fucking getting high, doing crazy shit. And then when they OD'd, they didn't want the story getting out. So they're like, oh, yeah, there was a rave. Yeah. You know, some kids dosed the dolphins. I think it's much more likely that the dolphins had drug problems already. And you would, too, if you were, you know, cooped up with fucking kids throwing popcorn at you and, you know, screaming and blah, 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 people standing on your back and shit, you'd probably fucking get addicted to drugs, too.
That's true.
It is true.
Absolutely. These dolphins have no one to blame but themselves.
Yeah.
Or whoever decides to name them Chalmers.
Yeah.
I would blame that person as well.
In addition, if the dolphins have no one to blame but themselves, I blame the dolphins for other problems as well. I don't think we put enough blame on dolphins.
Yeah, everybody always talks about how smart dolphins are and how they can talk and stuff. Why aren't they helping us come up with ways to get out of economic crises and ways to fight crime and stuff like this? If they're so goddamn smart, why do they just swim all the time?
I've said it before. I'll say it again. Dolphins are bullshit.
They're pretty bullshit.
They can get fucked right in their fucking blowholes.
Yeah. Man, that's one thing I love about the Japanese, is they're not afraid to eat dolphins all day, every day.
Fucking A. I hope that when Japan goes extinct in 3011, I hope that doesn't mean there's going to be, like, a boom in dolphin population. That seems like it would be the one downside of that situation.
Yeah, well, maybe that's why the Japanese have decided to call it quits in 3011, is by then, they will have killed every dolphin. And they can just peacefully slip into death, like Frodo did.
Hopefully. Hopefully that's the case. Hopefully the world will be rid of dolphins and the Japanese in the near future.
One fell swoop, yeah.
One fell swoop. We can only hope for the best.
Plus, of course, these dolphins do something helpful between now and then, like solve a problem or grow a thumb or something.
Don't hold your breath, Parker.
Because dolphins have to as well. Can't breathe underwater.
Yeah. The Japanese and the dolphins go extinct. Welcome to a completely 100% bullshit-free world.
I don't know. We'll still have the English.
Oh, yeah. Oi, crikey.
Welcome to London then, mate. Enjoy the wubby wubby and the tooby woob.
Another shrimp on the barbie.
Foster's, that's all strip. Oh, wait, never mind.
I think it's English for beer, right? That's how it goes?
It's British for beer.
Yeah, it's British for beer.
I don't know why I was saying Australian.
You're all mixed up.
All right, now we're going to switch it up. We're going to do a segment on the show that used to be called Frisbee Got Mail, but now it is called Put Your Fingers in the Air so Frisbee Can See Where You're At.
Thank you very much for that heartfelt introduction.
Is that Kid Rock, too?
Indeed it is.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
I think it sums up Frisbee's segments very nicely.
He uses, I'm not that familiar with his music. I try not to be. But it seems like he picks out the worst samples. He uses like Skynyrd and like late era Metallica and stuff.
Yeah, it's pretty bad stuff.
I bet he's really popular in Fresno.
I think so.
Probably.
Before you said Fresno, I heard the fra sound. I think they're going to say France. I totally agreed with you.
I bet he's really popular in France, too.
He may be. Those people like Jerry Lewis a lot, and that guy sucks shit.
Yeah.
They're like, this is how every American is, so that's how they feel about Kid Rock, too. Like, oh, this is every American musician.
They're very pro-America over there.
I'm really pissed off, though. Like, we started using this song for Frisbee, for his segments and stuff, and now the same song they're using in the goddamn Battleship commercials.
Yeah, I noticed that.
It's fucking amazing. The American Fat Ass song or the one you just played?
It's from the same song.
Oh.
Such a beautiful.
That's the same song?
Yeah.
God, so many layers. It's like an onion.
We're like the only people on Earth who have played this song in the last 10 years, and then Battleship starts using it.
Apparently his music's very progressive and complex.
It's like a Wings
song. I didn't realize
those
were the same songs either.
Yeah.
Something from Styx. It just has all these parts and overtures, so.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's like an opera.
Oh, yeah. Beautiful. Beautiful stuff.
It's thinking man's rap metal.
Okay, so our email this week comes from Blake. It's titled D-Box Plus at the Movies. It's a very long email. I imagine we'll probably post this online or something like that. Basically talking about our Avengers discussion from last week, so spoilers ahead. But one paragraph sticks out that Park and I want to talk about. He states, also, Captain America didn't get enough footage. What about poor Hawkeye? No one cared about that guy. He's possessed. No one cares. He can shoot an arrow anywhere. It doesn't matter. His acting is okay. There's hardly anything to make you care about him in the script. They tried to integrate him with Black Widow to try and make you care about him. It doesn't work. The Captain got a pretty fair shake in the movie, if you ask me. So compared to Hawkeye, Parker, you think Captain America did all right in the Avengers film?
No, compared to Hawkeye, I think Captain America did even worse. Because Hawkeye, at least he has something to do in the plot. He gets mind-melded with Loki, spoiler alert, even though this happens in the first 5 minutes of the movie. He gets mind-melded with Loki and tricked into being Loki's lackey. But
Loki's lackey.
Loki's lackey, a good name.
I like it.
For an album.
Yeah.
But, he's got something to do in the story, being as to how he's taken over. Everybody else has stuff to do in the story. There's a lot of, backstory between, like I sort of said before last week, there's a lot of backstory and stuff between Black Widow and Iron Man and Nick Fury, and S.H.I.E.L.D. Like, they're all kind of together, and then Hulk obviously has his stuff going on, and Thor has a plot point going on because they're fighting Loki. And Captain America, he's got no plot points. He's just there. I mean, he gets a lot of screen time and stuff, but he has nothing to do except for fight, and everybody else has other stuff going on. That was my problem.
Yeah, I see where you're coming from on that, because, again, like, this is within the first 15 minutes of the film, so spoilers at the ready. But essentially, Captain America gets recruited because S.H.I.E.L.D. approaches him and just asks, hey, are you bored? We have something that you might want to do.
Yeah, you tired of being the only living relic from a time that is dead and over with? You want to come fight gray aliens?
That sounds right for you.
I have not seen the Avengers yet. I assume the Hawkeye you're referring to is Hawkeye Pierce from MASH.
Yeah, that's...
it is.
Okay, yeah. Good. I'm glad they finally crossed over those two franchises. It's about time. I want to see Alan Alda in spandex. Besides that, I don't know. I got nothing to chip in.
Yeah. If they're gonna say you want to see Alan Alda in spandex, and you also want to see him in a superhero movie.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Goes without saying.
Right. Yeah, it's pretty stunning. He makes a few jabs at Radar. Like, why are you following me down this street in Manhattan, Radar? This is not exactly where I want to be. It's pretty adorable. It's just like MASH. It's just like MASH, except he's with the Hulk.
Yeah. Not since what was the dwarf in Lord of the Rings? Gimli?
Yeah.
Yeah. Not since Gimli has there been a comic foil on par with Radar. He loved his teddy bear.
If you ever saw like Scooby-Doo meets Batman and Robin, where Scooby-Doo meets the Harlem Globetrotters, it's kind of like that.
Yeah.
Pretty good stuff.
Yeah, I love how sometimes you need fake basketball players to help you solve real crimes.
That's the best way to solve real crimes. Last time I got mugged, I just ran and looked for the nearest professional basketball player.
But he couldn't help you. Only the fake basketball player can.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
Chris, only they know how
that
to,
was
like,
my mistake.
They're the ones who know how to like showboat and shimmy all the way to the truth behind a crime, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, you ran into the Golden State Warriors, Steph Curry, and he said, I cannot help you with your crime, but I'll give you the phone number of Bubblegum Tate.
It's an obscure poll, Steph Curry. Well done, sir.
Thank you much.
This guy knows his basketball.
It's apparently so.
Very stunning.
I might have come up with Tim Hardaway at best.
Well, I co-host the world's only podcast about cult movies and basketball.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
I learned a lot of things over there.
I forgot.
Yeah, so that's put your fingers in the air so Frisbee can see where you're at. You can email us at poolpartyradio@gmail.com. We'll read your emails, and Frisbee will know via your emails where you're at. Before we end the show, though, I wanted to bring up more Googles. A few weeks ago, we ran down a list of the things that people Google to find our website, Pool Party Radio. And there have been some funny ones, so I just wanted to point them out real quick. CM Punk's butt got us a few visits.
That was me.
How to ride a penis. One of them.
Fuck. Is every Google search, I do goes to your website.
We're like Rome. All Google searches come to Pool Party, especially the really gay ones.
Wow.
Yeah, they obviously we're looking for episode 17, where we discuss
how
our tips.
How to ride a penis.
Yeah, and how to ride a penis. Aaron Armstrong, the jerk in the pool video. I don't know who that guy is, but he's a jerk in a pool video. Huh. Dissecting cats. Because people are fucking freaks, apparently. And, of course, Frisbee's favorite topic, Puerto Rican nude midgets.
Yeah, I'm an avid subscriber to Puerto Rican Nude Midget Weekly. It should be no surprise that somebody found us that way.
Yeah. Also, you get so baffled whenever somebody finds us via the word midgets and some variation on the topic.
Cool, it's weird because
the
first and only podcast dedicated to Puerto Rican nude midgets.
So we have no keyword searches or anything of that nature. We have a photo of wrestling midgets, like Japanese wrestling midgets, but yeah. Uncertain.
Yeah, it's very weird. I wish I had the drop of Mark saying that midgets are the rats of people. And I have that queued up, sadly. Anyway, so that's the end of the show. I'd like to thank Shelby Cobras for joining us.
My pleasure. You can check me out on Twitter, Shelby_Cobras, or Illogical Contraption Radio on FCCFreeRadio.com. Just do a little Google search. Our guest this Friday will be Tommy Blacha, co-creator of Metalocalypse and voice of William Murderface.
Very excited for this.
So check that out. That'll be fun. And my band, Apocryphon, is going on tour in June in the Northwest. So go find my band and keep up with that shit.
You guys going to play Fresno?
No, sir.
Oh.
No, sir, we are not.
That sounds like a real crappy tour schedule then.
Yeah, it should be pretty lame.
Also, don't tell that Metalocalypse guy that we steal his music and use it on our show, please.
I'll do what I want.
Yeah, he already agreed to every other term of our Cold War truce, so yeah. All right.
Oh, and one last thing. I thought this was pretty exciting. Last week, me and Corey from Ilkon Radio got to be part of a panel at a comedy club here in San Francisco at a place called The Dark Room with several local comedians. And Corey told me before the show that his one goal when we started with the podcast was to someday me and him be part of a panel at a comedy club. So we've basically realized all of our dreams. There's probably not much time left for the show. We've reached the very peak that we've been striving for.
Much like
part of a panel.
Yeah, much like the Japanese. Once you reach all your goals, you just plan to slip into death.
Exactly. And hopefully we can take a couple dolphins with us.
Yeah. So anyway, go to our website as well, poolpartyradio.com, and get all our episodes there. That's the only place to get all the episodes. As we've mentioned before, every time a new episode goes up on iTunes, which is where most people find us, an old one goes away forever. But it only goes away forever on iTunes. You can still find them on the website and all the other ones. Also, if you go to iTunes, you can subscribe to us, leave us some 5-star ratings and stuff, which is very helpful. Please subscribe, because then you don't have to push buttons to get new episodes, and that's super helpful. Also, apparently, people who subscribe to our show also subscribe to Illogical Contraption Radio, so that's pretty cool.
Nerds!
And they also subscribe to Greenlight Show and Pod Awful, who are our podcast bros on Red Band, the Red Band Network, which you can find at redbandnetwork.com. They have very good shows. I like that Pod Awful quite a bit. I've asked Jesse, if you listen to Pod Awful, which apparently you do, according to iTunes, I've asked that Jesse P.S., host of Pod Awful, to come on the show a couple times. He always blows me off. So send him an email. Tell him to come on our show.
Well, I think now he's actually recording the same time that we're recording.
I think so. So we should just call into his show and just be on
it. That'd be great. Yeah, let's just do that. Let's do a podcast crossover.
Yeah, let's do that secretly without telling him.
Not everyone is so sad, pathetic, and alone that they're willing to come on your show at a moment's notice.
I beg to differ. I think most people are that sad, pathetic, and alone.
Probably true.
Most of Jesse's show is him talking about how sad, pathetic, and alone he is. So I think
that's true.
I think
he has no excuse.
Yeah, if he doesn't want to be on our show, we'll just sneak onto his show by calling in. He does it live. There's nothing he can do about it.
Call him out, dude.
Yeah. And, yeah, go to our Facebook, facebook.com/poolpartyradio. We got a bunch of likes all at once, and then now the last couple weeks we haven't got any, and it's making me very sad. It's making my OCD, tremendously, kicked in, as I think we have an odd number of people liking us, which is always shitty for me. So, this is Parker for Shelby Cobras and Jason Razorblades Frisbee saying, fuck you, Chelios. Record. Didn't want him to hear that communist lecture.